Exodus 16.
I kind of feel in a baseball scenario, I'm the middle reliever. And we had Pastor Hain this morning. He's your starter. He gets you 6-7 good innings, gets you going in the right direction, the team going in the right direction. And you have your middle relievers, they just fill in, try to get you to the end, and you have your closer, which will be Brother Taylor tonight. So I'm just your middle reliever. If you don't enjoy it, I'm sorry. I'm doing my best. Again, sorry, might be a letdown, but we'll go forward with it. In Exodus 16, verses 16 through 20, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathereth much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave it till the morning. Notwithstanding, this is a big shocker, notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms, and it stank. Josh, can I ask you to open us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, thank you that we are coming here today, Lord. Thank you that you guide us safely. I pray that you help us to hear what you want to hear from the preaching, and help us to hear what you want to hear from the one Father as well, Lord. God, keep us. Amen.
Amen. I also want to say there's going to be a lot of sweat, obviously, from me. I brought plenty of these, and we're going to put a little sweat on them. We're going to sell them on YouTube or on Facebook or whatever. They won't be holy, but they'll smell. And I promise you that if you lay them on the floor and you kneel and you pray to them, it'll do absolutely nothing for you, but you'll feel better. This mic, if I go like this, because I feel like something's behind me constantly, so if I get a little distracted and start chasing things up here, but anyways, I wanted to get to that word, and it bred worms, and it stank. That's the key word I want to get to, and the question I want to ask is, what's that smell? And what I've had a hard time, I'll get to that later, but anyways, what comes to mind when you think of stink or stank? Now, I like how the word stank here, because that's another level higher than stink in my mind, okay? It's just a little bit higher. And where this message kind of came from is I drive for a grocery warehouse, and when you back up to a store, most likely they put the dumpster right close to you.
Oh, yeah.
So a couple months ago, I was coming out of a trailer, and just it stank. It was a smell that just woof. And so that got me to thinking. We'll go to Leviticus 4:31. And this is a thought that it's always kind of hit me when I'm going through these, and I'm just picking a spot. I know it's done in other spots in the Bible in Leviticus here, but chapter 4, and we'll go to verse 31. And he shall take away all the fat thereof, as the fat is taken away from off the sacrifice of peace offerings, and the priest shall burn it upon the altar for a sweet savor unto the Lord, and the priest shall make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven. And I've always thought, every time I read that, I think of it, a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord. How can a burned animal give a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord? I get it. People grill out. They have steaks. And that has a smell. I'm not a steak person, so it doesn't mean anything to me. But I've also been hunting and had to gut a deer that's been gut shot, and it's not a sweet smell. It's anything that to do with that. And you get into these different things, and it talks about how this and this and this, and they were burned, and you get to the sweet-smelling savor of the Lord. And I just have never been able to put the two together until I started looking into this. And actually, it connected when I was going over Noah with our teens before we left. So I want to go to Genesis 8. And yes, get your fingers ready, because there's going to be a lot of turning today. Genesis 8. And we'll go to verse 20 and 21. Genesis 8, 20 and 21. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and it took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor. So I started thinking more and more, why was this such a sweet savor? And the thing that came to mind was obedience. All the way through the story of Noah, he did what God commanded him. So it came to me, obedience, that's the thing. We're going to look through here. We get to, you see that it was a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord. The obedience was a sweet smell. So I got thinking, is that the only thing that it could be? So that brought me to Ephesians 5. So that's in your New Testament, Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, and we'll start right at the beginning of the chapter. Chapter 5 of Ephesians, verse 1. Be therefore followers of God, which is imitators of God, is another way of saying it, as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God. Now we're just talking about the Old Testament. They were giving sacrifices and being a sweet smelling savor unto the Lord. We read right here that Jesus Christ was that sweet smelling savor to the Lord. To God for a sweet-smelling savor, the last part of that verse. God was well pleased because Jesus was obedient, Noah was obedient, they did what God asked them to do. They followed through. They did exactly what was asked of them. So, again, just as Noah did, he obeyed. Then you go to verse 19, and it kind of starts to bring in some other stuff that could be sweet-smelling savors. Same chapter, verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and in hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and in the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this starts to bring in prayer into the picture. What are you offering up to God? Are you just living daily and just expecting it to be handed to you? Or are you just expecting his blessings to be poured out? Or are you putting some effort into it? Are you doing something? And those two verses talk about we should be in a place where daily we're singing, we're thinking of him, we're concentrating on him. Our life should be revolving around him, and that will lead to a sweet-smelling savor. Prayers of our own, our daily walk with the Lord, our daily conversation with him, prayers for others. When we say we're going to pray for somebody, follow through.
Amen.
That's a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord. The songs, the praises, our walk. Is our walk a sweet-smelling savor? Helping others, stepping in when you could help somebody, or just walking by and turning your head to it. It's a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord. There's one more in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. We'll look at that real quick. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be careful for nothing, and basically telling you don't worry, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So in chapter verse 6, it's talking about your prayer and your prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. How many times do we just take it for granted that we're going to be here tomorrow, we're going to have breath in our lungs, everything's going to be fine, it's another day. Until you realize that every breath is a gift from God and that you should be thanking him daily for the breath that you have, for job, for family, for whatever you have. Until you get that mindset and you're offering that to Christ, that's the sweet smell and savor that he's looking for. He wants your reliability, your obedience. He wants to communicate with you. He wants to have that conversation. He wants to become your father. So we'll hit the sticky part that we don't want to really talk about, but if you're lost, what's your smell? Well, it stinks.
Amen.
To our Heavenly Father, it stinks. What you're offering up to him stinks. Okay, I'm not trying to be mean, I'm not trying to point out anything, I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad, but your life to our Heavenly Father, it stinks.
Amen.
Fix for that is obviously repentance.
Amen.
If you understand You're lost if you understand that a holy Jesus died for you. He shed his blood. He was offered up as a sacrifice. You accept that. You ask for forgiveness. You turn. That's the cure. It will change the whole smell that you're offering to God. It will change your whole life. I'm not going to hearken on the lost people that much. We'll turn to the saved. A saved person that's going through the motions. Are you a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord? Do you stink? Are you trusting the deodorant of the church? Are you coming in, putting on an hour, 2 hour service? I smell good for the week, guys. We're good to go. That doesn't fool God. You're not changing anything of that smell. You can't cover up with the church. It's just not going to work. So saved, and this I don't have a very good sense of smell, but I have when something very potent is around, it just sticks in my nose. So if somebody lights a cigarette up, we can be outside 50 yards away and they light a cigarette up, I can smell it. Same thing with perfume. Sometimes we put way too much perfume on and way too much cologne on. That's not a sweet smelling savor. You still stink. You could be saved. You're just putting a big cover up on to take the smell away. I have a guy that I work with. I've had to drive his truck from here to there. He's pretty much a chain smoker. When you first get in that truck, you would not know it. All you can smell is his cologne because he carries one right in the truck with him. He tries to cover that smell up. He doesn't try to hide the fact that he smokes. He just apparently doesn't want to offend people with the smell of the cigarette. For the first 2 hours, you won't smell the cigarette. All you'll smell is the cologne. 4 to 6 hours in, you'll smell the cigarette. You're in that confined space. Doesn't matter how much perfume or cologne or whatever he puts on it, you smell it. It's the same with the Christian life.
Yeah.
You can dump perfume on it. You can dump as much. You can say the right things. You can say, do the right things. You can do it all. But it can still stink. It's still not what the Lord is looking for in your life. It's still a stink to him.
Yes.
Until we recognize that, until we realize he just wants us to be obedient. He just wants us to do what he asks us to do and follow through with it, that's what he's looking for. That's the sweet-smelling savor that he's looking for. Again, you can put as much deodorant on, much cologne, much perfume. It's not going to fool him. He knows the heart. He knows what's going on. Talking about sweet-smelling perfume, go to Matthew 26 with me. First book of your New Testament, Matthew 26. We're going to go verses 7 through 13, Matthew 26, 7 through 13. There came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment. And this would be perfume basically to this day. And poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood, he said unto them, why trouble ye this woman? Now these disciples, they're looking at the worldly. They're looking at the cost of it, the waste of it. Jesus is looking for the reason that it's happening. Why trouble ye this woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, which is Black Creek Baptist Church, there shall also this, but this woman hath done, he told for a memorial of her. She looked past the price. She looked even past the smell. She was being obedient. She had so much love for the Lord that this is all she could do. This is all she could offer him. That was all. And Jesus saw her heart in it and saw the matter and appreciated it so much that it's recorded in our Bible for us.
That's right.
This was just a little blip on the screen back then, but it was so important to him that she followed what was asked and what was done, and she loved him so much that she did this. The disciples missed the whole point. They're worried about the price. Oh, we could have saved that money. We could have used that money. Their thoughts were not a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord. She was doing what she felt the Lord was telling her to do. She was honoring her God, and he honored her by putting her in the Bible. That's pretty important, in my opinion. She offered up a sweet-smelling savor. It wasn't the ointment. It was her actions. It was her heart that made her that important. This perfume was a sweet-smelling savor for the Savior. Again, we can get so busy in our lives that we forget to read our Bible, or we forget to pray, or we don't take our prayer serious, or we tell somebody we're going to pray for them and we never do it. When we fail on those aspects, that's not a sweet-smelling savor. I'll just use that one. Prayer, over these last 15 years, 16 years of my illness, I've had lots of people tell me, and I very much appreciate this, but we'll be praying for you. That's awesome. Unfortunately, after year 5 of going through this, I had gotten to the point where it was, yep, thank you. What good is it doing? Nothing's changing. Nothing appears that it's going to change. And I had gotten that bad opinion or that bad view on other people telling me that they're praying for me. Until the Lord pointed out, they're taking of their time to pray for you.
Amen.
So I was telling Mr. Morey this. It changed my outview on how I viewed it by saying, I started praying to the Lord, honor their prayers. If they're going to take the time and they care enough to pray for me, then honor their prayers.
Amen.
Whether it affects me or not, if I still have the same health issue, they're being willing and they're offering up a sweet smelling savor on my behalf, honor their prayers.
Amen.
Again, please don't stop praying for me, because I need it. But we're going to get away from sweet smelling just for a little bit. We're going to go to Psalms 136. And I'm going to try something that it'll probably fail, but we're going to try it anyways. Responsive reading. I don't know if anybody knows about it or remembers it, but we're going to try responsive reading. Psalms 136. I'm going to read the first part of the verse, and if you look real quick, you'll see what your section is. For his mercy endureth forever. That's what I would like you guys to receive, read back to me. So let's start verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
For his mercy endureth forever.
Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods.
For his mercy endureth forever.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords.
For his mercy endureth forever.
To him alone doeth great wonders.
For his mercy endureth forever.
To him that by wisdom made the heavens.
For his mercy endureth forever.
To him that stretched out the earth above the waters.
For his mercy endureth forever.
To him that made great lights.
For his mercy endureth forever.
The sun to rule by day.
For his mercy endureth forever.
The moon and stars to rule by night.
For his mercy endureth forever.
To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn.
For his mercy endureth forever.
And brought out Israel from among them.
For his mercy endureth forever.
With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm.
For his mercy endureth forever.
To him which divided the Red Sea into parts.
For his mercy endureth forever.
And made Israel to pass through the midst of it.
For his mercy endureth forever.
But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea.
For his mercy endureth forever.
To him which led his people through the wilderness.
For his mercy endureth forever.
To him which smote great kings.
For his mercy endureth forever.
And slew famous kings.
For his mercy endureth forever.
Sihon, king of the Amorites.
For his mercy endureth forever.
And Og, the king of Bashan.
For his mercy endureth forever.
And gave their land for a heritage.
For his mercy endureth forever.
Even a heritage unto Israel, his servant.
For his mercy endureth forever.
Now I'll have you think on this one a little bit. Who remembered us in our low estate.
For his mercy endureth forever.
And hath redeemed us from our enemies.
For his mercy endureth forever.
Who giveth food to all flesh.
For his mercy endureth forever.
O give thanks unto the God of heaven.
For his mercy endureth forever.
Did you catch where we're going? We went from sweet smelling to his savor, or to his mercy. That phrase, no matter what you're going through in your life, for his mercy endureth forever, should be something that you want stuck in your head. It's his mercy and nothing else. I'm not answering a text. I'm trying to come up with a definition here. Mercy, his definition is the noun, which means nothing to me because I'm dumb. But it means compassion or forgiveness shown toward someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. Does that go along with God? He could punish or harm us at any day. An event to be grateful for, especially because its occurrence prevents something unpleasant or provides relief from suffering. Is that not God's mercy?
Yes.
We deserve a whole lot more than what we have. We deserve a lot more suffering, a lot more pain. Give thanks. This is a couple of verses that weren't in your Bible, but these are a couple that came to my mind in that Psalms passage. Give thanks to myself because I'm so important, because God can't work it out without me, because I smell so good.
Yeah.
I can't put for his mercy endureth forever behind that.
That's
my wants or my desires. That's not his. So you say, why mercy? Why smell? Why are you trying to put the two together? Where do they connect? What are you doing here? Kind of not making sense. God still gives us mercy even when we stank. Even when we went back and looked at Exodus and it stank. And try to get that word in your mind again. It's worse than stink in my mind. It's just, it stank. When we're not doing what God wants us to do, when we're not willing to listen to what he has for us, when we are thick-headed, strong-necked, don't want to give in, we stank.
Amen.
And that's not what the God wants. God wants from us. He wants a sweet-smelling savor where we realize our life is in his hands. When our lives don't give him a sweet-smelling savor, it stinks when we're not doing what we should be doing. We're going to wrap this up really early so you guys get a break, and I'm hungry, so we might as well go down. We're going to go to Romans 9, 15 through 18. This is where we're going to finish up. Romans 9, 15 through 18. And if this doesn't connect, Pastor Asquith can straighten it out later, but we're going to look at it. Romans 9, 15 through 18. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Again, it's not our choice. It's what God says. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Explains it right there to you again. It's not who you are. You were born into the right family. You have a grandparent or a parent that's working in Christianity or something. It's up to God who's going to show mercy, and it's up to you if you're going to be the person he can show mercy to. Verse 17, for the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy. Kind of reinstating it. It's God's mercy to give out. And whom he will, he hardeneth. To me, and Pastor can correct me if I'm not wrong on this, he's going to give out mercy to a point.
That's right.
There's going to come a point where he said, that's enough mercy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no correction here. That's good.
You want to be careful. If you're that person that keeps fighting against him, that keeps has the stiff neck, that won't let him get in, will not let him penetrate, will that person that thinks they're more important than God is.
Yeah.
He says he's going to come a point where he gives up on mercy.
Yeah.
I just read the definitions to you. You're going to have a lot of pain, a lot of suffering if you don't have his mercy. You're going to have eternity in hell. So to end this up, sweet-smelling savor equals a right relationship with God. Again, that doesn't mean coming in and playing church. That doesn't mean coming in or reading your Bible just to get through your reading. It's about seeking and searching who he is, trying to get in that right relationship with Christ. Not a sweet-smelling savor. You can continue to pray continually for mercy. Don't ever give up on mercy. Continue to pray for mercy until you are a sweet-smelling savor unto God.
Amen.
Continue to put the work in. Don't just say, well, I'm lost and there's no mercy. No, it says there'll come a point where he gives up on mercy. Don't you give up on God just expecting that he's going to turn his back on you.
Mm-hmm.
You need to stay where you need to stay, and that's in the Word of God. Searching him out, praying. We talked about singing hymns. Keep that spirit of God, that desire. I don't know about you, but when I, throughout my work week, these hymns we sing in here, they keep me going throughout the week.
Yes, sir.
I have a bonus because I have two daughters that play the piano. So I get extra playing throughout the week that just keeps me going. 2 weeks ago, we went to the emergency room, and as we're sitting there, my oldest recorded herself playing a song and sent it to us. That was pretty cool. It helped get the focus off the pain and put it on where it needs to be, my family, my God. It made the pain a lot more bearable. It also helped that we got in the fastest I've ever gotten into the hospital.
Amen.
And gotten our narcotics, but it's keeping that mindset of who God is, that he loves you. Don't ever forget that he loves you. He sent his son to die for you. All he wants you to do is accept that free gift. Stop refusing it. Stop offering up that stank that nobody wants. Even God doesn't want it. Again, if anything, the next time you go by a dumpster or you go by a garbage can or you go by whatever, think about that stank, that smell, and ask yourself, where's my life with God? What's my smell? Lord, we thank you for all you've done. We thank you for your mercies and your strengths. I just pray that you would take these words, and I just pray that you use them, and especially in my life. Help me to draw closer to you through it.